Welcome, First Friends Church family. We are so glad to have you tuning in because here at First Friends Church, we live to glorify God together by loving Him, making disciples, and proclaiming the gospel. One of the best ways to strengthen our faith is by diving into the Word of God together during our Sunday gatherings. So if you don't have a church family, we would love to have you join us. All there is to know as you plan your visit can be found at firstfriends.org.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1? We're going to be starting there. Also, ushers have a little card they're going to be passing out. It has the outline of a hand on it. If you didn't get one on your way in, go ahead and grab one of those. And there's a pencil as well. Just make sure you have something to write with. We're going to be using that this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Sean Yost. I'm the marriage and family pastor here at First Friends. Also do men's ministry, and I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you today. Pastor Nathaniel is having some time off, some well-deserved time off, and he'll be back with us next week. He asked me to preach, and you know, Pastor Nathaniel does a great job just digging into God's word for a couple verses, and so I wasn't sure how many verses I was going to get. So I was thankful when he gave me more than two verses. So I did thank him for that, and I was kind of joking with him about it. And we'll actually be finishing chapter one today. So our theme is remember, hold on to the truth. That's our theme for this series. And 2 Peter talks a lot about that. And as I was pondering this idea of holding, remembering and holding on to the truth, I was trying to think of things in my own life that I've had to remember and hold on to. And it took me back to when I was younger, the day my parents gave me my Social Security card. And they said, you need to learn this number. And you need to remember this number because you're going to use it a lot in life. And it's one that you need to protect as well. And I just remember, you know, they had asked me to learn other things or remember other things in the past, but I just remember that being a little more serious, like that number I really needed to know and to protect. And it wasn't until I was really older that I did realize how often I would need that number for jobs, for bank accounts, for taxes, etc., right? And also, I did see the value of protecting it with issues like identity theft and all the problems that that creates. So there was that need to remember it and hold on to it. But today we're going to talk about something much more important than Social Security numbers, and that's remembering and holding on to the truth about Jesus. Because, you know, a Social Security number, not knowing that number or losing that number can create problems here on earth, but not knowing the truth about Jesus can create problems now and for eternity. So Peter knows this, and Peter is writing this letter to the believers to encourage them to remember, hold on to the truth. So if you'd follow along, I'm going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message of something completely, as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So I just want to share kind of a few big thoughts of where we're going today. This is really Peter's intent and purpose of giving us this section of Scripture. The first thing is to remind the people, the believers, of the truth about Jesus. He also then wants to give evidence to authenticate the message about Jesus. And then thirdly, to help them understand the characteristics of true prophecy. Now, these may seem like some random topics, but they will help prepare us as we go on with this book, because in chapter 2, we're going to talk about false prophets and teachers and what they were bringing into the flock, really. And then chapter 3, we're going to talk about the coming day of the Lord. And so some of the things that we talk about today and lay out are foundational for some of our next talks, but also looking back at what Pastor Nathaniel has talked about the last few weeks. So let's go into the first point there. The first one is to remind them of the truth about Jesus. And I just want to say this to start off is that letter A is that there's an urgency in the reminder because Peter knows he will die soon. I don't know if you caught that, but he says in verse 14, I know that I will soon put it aside, that being his body, as our Lord Christ has made clear to me. 30 years earlier, Jesus came and said to Peter, one day you're going to be led where you don't want to go. And it was after the resurrection, and Jesus met them by the water. They were out on the boat fishing, and then they realized it was Jesus, and they came to shore. And he ends up saying to them, feed my sheep and do all these things. But then he says to Peter, you know, one day you're going to go where you don't want to go. And he was talking about him facing the cross. So this is almost 30 years later, wherein he's about at that point. He's writing the letter, and soon after this, we know from church history that under Emperor Nero, that Peter was martyred on a cross, and that he was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. Can't imagine that type of death. So he knows this is coming, and if you think of that, you're close to the end, and you're trying to communicate something. You're trying to have these people that you love remember these things. You can see that he is just urgent about it. And so he writes them this letter, and he says in here, you know, I want to remind you of these truths. So what are these truths that he's reminding them about? Well, it's pretty much what Pastor Nathaniel talked about in verses 1 through 11, but then there's going to be some new things today that we're going to talk about. Just to mention some of the things Pastor Nathaniel talked about is that he wanted to remind them that salvation comes through relationship with Jesus, and salvation is totally dependent on what Jesus has done for us. He also wanted to remind them to grow spiritually. And this happens as they focus on investing in their relationship with Jesus. I love Pastor Nathaniel's example about marriage. He says, in the same way you can't grow in your marriage without including your spouse, you can't grow spiritually without including Jesus. So he says, focus in on Jesus. That's how you're going to grow. Invest in that relationship. That's how you're going to grow. But then he also says, I want to remind you that as you grow spiritually, you're going to bear fruit. And there's these principles that we talked about last week of how we can grow. And this fruit will be a reflection of Jesus and ultimately lead to a godly life, which I love how Pastor Nathaniel defined that as good worship. A godly life equals good worship unto the Lord, right? So today then, we're going to also talk, Peter's going to add the idea of sharing about seeing Jesus' glory and authenticate why this whole message is true, why it's not just cleverly made stories. There's truth, very foundational. So let me go with this. The next part is that he recognizes that they've heard these things before. So letter B, even though they had heard it before, he needed to remind them again. He says in verse 12, I know you know the truth and you're already firmly established in it, yet I need to remind you again. He says, I will always remind you of these things. In verse 13, he says, I think it right to refresh, or your translation may say to stir up your memory. In verse 15, he says, I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So he's talking a lot about remembering things. And I just wonder, how is your memory? How good is your memory? What helps you remember things? You know, I'll be honest, I think remembering things can be such a challenge, and it can just even be the most simple things. I might be at home, and I might be upstairs, and my wife Mary's downstairs, and she might just mention to me, hey, could you bring me some socks when you come downstairs? My feet are cold. She mentions that to me. A moment later, I walk down, no socks. Oh yeah, you told me. I mean, it's just like that quick. I don't know if it happens to you, but that quick you can just forget. So I go back upstairs, get the socks, bring them down. I just feel like that happens a lot. I don't know how your memory is, but there's things that can help you and help me learn and remember things better. So I want to do just a little illustration about this. I'm going to do an activity that talks about different methods of learning that help us and see which ones help us remember the most. So I know this is going to talk about our short-term memory right now, but I want you to get that card out. And on the card, if you would turn it to the back so that you have the blank side up. We're going to use the blank side first. Make sure you have something to write with. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a set of numbers on the screen. This won't be a social security number or anything, but I'm going to put a set of numbers on the screen, and I want you to try to remember them. And then when I tell you, write them on the back of your card, all right? But don't write them until I tell you, all right? So the first one, I'm just going to explain what I'm going to do here. We're not going to put it up yet, but I'm going to put this one up. I'm going to give you some time to see it. Then I'm going to repeat the number multiple times, and then we're going to take it off the screen, and then I'm going to have you write it, okay? So Cindy, go ahead and put this first number up. All right, 330-846-5878. 330-846-5878. 330-846-5878. All right, Cindy, go ahead and take that off. Now, if you try to write that number on the back of your card. All right. Those of you, all right. Here we go. Cindy, go ahead, put it back up on the card, on the screen. Check your answer. How many got that one right? A lot of hands, all right, good. So with this one, we use the visual, we're seeing, also hearing, you heard me say it, and I also used repetition, repeated it multiple times, gave you a little bit longer period of time, but then there's this issue of familiarity. Maybe you recognize the 330 at the front, which is our area code, so maybe that part was easy. But also, you might recognize that this is the First Friends text line. And you saw it earlier in service. Go ahead and put up the communication card. Right there was the number on top. I don't know if you remember seeing that, but it was there. You've already seen this number, so maybe you're familiar with it, all right? So that was the first one. Now let's take some of those methods away. This time, we're gonna only let you see the number, all right? I'm gonna put it up on the screen, let you look at it, and I'm not gonna let you look at it for as long, all right? And then I'm gonna take it off the screen, and then I will tell you to write the number, okay? So, Cindy, go ahead, put this number up on the screen. All right, go ahead and take that down, and you may write. All right, Cindy, go ahead, put that one back up on the screen. Grade your answer. All right, how many got all of those right? A number of people, but not as many as the first time, but all right. How many would say that one was harder than the first one? Okay, I think pretty obvious. All right, here's the third one. We're gonna do one more, all right? This time, I'm just gonna read you the number. I'm just gonna say it to you, okay? I'm gonna say it one time. When I get done saying it, then I'll say you can write, okay? But don't write until I say it, all right? Here's the number, 5-4-7-3-8-5-6-2-9-4. Okay, you can go ahead and write. Some people got done writing very fast. I don't know. All right, Cindy, let's go ahead and put that one back up. Grade your answer. All right, let me see your hands if you got that one right. All right, Matt, so Cindy's husband got it right. So, and another there, all right, a few others. All right, there's a few. Okay, so not as many, all right, so sorry if I missed you, but Les got it that time. So that really discourages me that you're gonna remember anything I say today, but, so that's why I give you so many notes, right? But really, when you think about it, we tend to, by listening, not retain as much. You know, they say 5% of what you listen to, and then they say 15% of what you see, and then it, as you do both together, it increases, all right? Here's an interesting thing as well, is that when you think of the first number I asked you to think about, your minds are maybe a little more fresh. But by the third round, you had tried to learn 20 numbers already. So that third round is even harder just because you've had 20 other numbers to think about. And I was thinking about that principle because I originally did them in reverse order. But I had done this on someone and it was like, wow, you know what? This is almost a principle in life. What if you think about starting your day with the Lord before you have 20 distractions that happen in your day and then you get with the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to be legalistic. If you work better reading later in the day, that's great. But there was just a principle here of giving the Lord our first time might be the best way of what we hold on to. Just an interesting thought as I did it. So I actually reversed them and did it in back different order. And for those of you doing the Bible in a year, you know, this would be maybe a good way, just encouragement to be reading in the morning. But the main point is that the more methods of learning we incorporate, the more likely we are to remember it. So I want to have you turn the card over with the outline of the hand on it. And I just want to share a hand illustration from the Navigator's ministry that I have modified this, so it's not exactly the same, but this is an illustration that incorporates multiple learning methods to help us think about holding on to the Word of God. And Dawson Trotman, the founder of Navigators, created this, and Tom Young, who attends here at the church, shared this with me a number of years ago, and it's just been a really helpful tool. So I just want you to think about these different, the thumb in different, as different modes of learning and remembering. So the thumb is hearing, all right? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So hearing is important. Faith comes by hearing. So there's a value, definitely a value in hearing. So that's the thumb. The next finger is to read, all right? Revelations 1:3 says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written. So there you have read and hearing. The third thumb is study. This is Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans who were in Scripture. And the Bereans, they examined the Scriptures each day to see what Paul said, if what Paul said was true. So studying is this idea of examining things so that we know right from wrong, examining the Scriptures also so that we can know God, right? So there's more thought in it. It takes more time. The fourth finger is memorize. Psalms 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So hiding God's word in our heart, holding on to it, memorizing it. And I'll say, this was another thing my parents had me learn and remember when I was young, was this verse. They asked me to memorize this because they just wanted to stress the importance of knowing God's word and having that to be able to bring out. Because when you memorize, it's having that available to you to use. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? And so it's that weapon to come out against the enemy. And so this involves a lot more repetition usually, and involves writing things down. So memorizing, how important that is. The fifth finger is meditate. Psalms 1, 2 through 3 talks about, blessed are those who meditate on his law day and night. And to meditate is putting our mind, setting our mind on the word of God, setting our mind on the Lord. And this is the idea of chewing on God's word, how the cow chews on the cud. It savors it. It holds on to it for a long period of time. It's like letting it soak into you. Because here's the thing. You can memorize scripture, and that's great. But if you don't let it soak into you, if you don't let it permeate you, if you don't let it renew your thinking, then it's only going to take you so far. But by meditating on God's word, it allows him to renew our thoughts, renew our minds in this way. And then one more piece to this is the palm of the hand. And this is applying the word, all right? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Doing what God's word says will help us remember it even more, and it'll transform our lives. There'll be a witness that comes out of it, a testimony that comes out of it that we can share with others as we share about what God has done in our life. So I want you to have those, and then I just want to do an actual visual with you using those, all right? This is a visual you could use yourself to remember, but when you think of the hand that I just talked about, and you think of starting with the thumb, reading, it's a good thing. Thumbs up, all right, it's a good thing. But if you think about trying to hold on to the Bible with just your thumb, you're probably not going to be able to hold on to much. But if you read and add the next finger, if you hear and read, it's like holding on to the word a little bit better. You can get a grip, but it's not a great grip, all right? So you want to hear, read, and add another one, study the word. You're going to have a stronger grip on it, right? And then obviously as you add memorize, that's another finger. And as you add meditating on the word, you're going to have a stronger hold on the word of God. But the best is when you get it in the palm of your hand, deep in the palm of your hand with all your fingers wrapped around it, and you apply it, that you're going to have a strong hold on the word of God and be able to share it with others. Take it to them. That's been a helpful visual for me to think about, what am I doing with the word of God? And so often when I'm hearing it, I need to actually just write it down. So that's why I say in a message, writing it down, you'll still take more away from the message probably than just hearing it. I do realize some people are audible listeners, and maybe that's your case, but for the most of us, we usually need more. And here's the thing, is that Peter wanted the believers during his day to remember God's word too. He didn't want them just to hear it and forget about it. He wanted them to know it. He wanted them to study it. He wanted them to meditate on it. He wanted them to apply it to their lives, all these things. And so what does he do? He writes a letter, and he sends it to them. And this letter is something that they can have with them for a long time. And isn't it amazing that God would hold and sustain this letter that we could even have it today, that we too could remember these truths? That's what God has for us. I love it. So there's our part, but then there's God's part of always sustaining that. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how also part of remembering is allowing the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance the things of the Lord as well. So here's my second point then, is that Peter, his purpose here is also to give evidence to authenticate the message about Jesus. Because there was this objection to them from false teachers. The false teachers were basically saying that Peter and the apostles had made up the stories about Jesus. And that's why Peter says here in verse 16, we do not follow cleverly devised stories. No, that's what the false prophets do. That's what the false teachers do. They actually fabricate stories. They make them up themselves. And so Peter begins to try to authenticate his message by saying, one, letter A is that Peter was an eyewitness of Jesus' majesty at the Transfiguration. So he refers to that in this passage. Transfiguration happened probably on Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon. There's always debate about where it happened. But it was on a mountain. And the Transfiguration is where Jesus revealed his glory, his grandeur, his majesty, his power, his authority in that moment to Peter, James, and John. His clothes, it says, changed and it became like a flash of lightning. And there's this miraculous thing that happens is that Moses and Elijah appear, and they're with him. And I love it. They begin, Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets. And they come and they meet with Jesus. Man, what a holy huddle that is, right? They have this time together, And his scripture says that they talk about his coming departure, his coming death, which would really be a fulfillment of what the Messiah would happen to the Messiah. And as they have this moment, let me just say this first. It's significant that Peter, James, and John saw it. That's three witnesses. In script, you know, they talk about things being confirmed by the witnesses of two or three. Well, we have three witnesses there. So Peter's talking about that. But also, I love what this one commentary said, was that the real miracle was that Jesus, most of the time, could keep from displaying his glory. Because that's the most natural, is Jesus in all his glory. So this commentary was just saying the real miracle was that Jesus most of the time could keep from displaying his glory. So I love it. This is the time of Mount Transfiguration that he's like, all right, let me just take all that off. Whew, here I am. The glory of seeing him in that way. But during that time, what happens is letter B is that the Father's voice confirms that Jesus was his son. So we have the majestic glory, the cloud. And from this bright cloud comes the voice of the Father. And the voice of the Father, it's the literal voice of the Father, says, this is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased. So Peter says, not only do we have testimony, eyewitness account, but now we have the Father's voice, this divine testimony about who Jesus is. And by the Father calling Jesus son, he's confirming that he is the Son of God. And that he's putting him above Moses and above Elijah, which means Jesus is above the law and above the prophets, that he is the Son of God. And that's what Peter wants the people to remember. This is who we worship. This is who we serve. But I love the Father's expression. It wasn't just calling him son, but then it was also saying, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. He did this also at Jesus' baptism. And now here at the Transfiguration. And this is just my parenting side note. I like to say this every time I read this passage, is that if the God of the universe verbally, publicly expressed his affection for his children and his love for his son, how much more should we? We need to publicly and privately express our love and affection for our children. They need it. We needed it. We still need it. I love that the God of the universe would express that love in front of them. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love my son. I'm well pleased in my son. You know what that does to a kid's life? Know what that does to our life when we have that affirmation? God's designed it that way. We need it. So just the parenting side note, we need that. Here's letter C, is that Peter also says the prophecies of Scripture point to Jesus. Peter pointed to the prophetic testimony of Scripture as being another thing to affirm and authenticate that Jesus is who he says he is. So we have the eyewitness account of Peter, we have the audible voice of Father God, and now we have the prophetic testimony of Scripture. And this prophetic testimony would say that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus fills the role of the Messiah. And I love that he says, pay attention to the prophetic testimony. And when I hear that word attention, it makes me think of this game we used to do with kids when I was a children's pastor in Colorado. We had this game we would play with the kids when we spoke and did our messages. And the game was called attention. And what the kids would do is they would listen for that word attention anywhere in the whole message. And when they heard that word, they would stand up quickly and salute like you're in the military. Colorado Springs, a lot of military out there. They knew what to do. So those kids, it was a great way to help have them, you know, listen to your message. But they would be like ready. Because the first one to stand up and salute was rewarded. The first one with a quick response was rewarded. So man, they would watch and you would try to think of every word that sounded like attention. And try to throw them off throughout the whole message, but that's a side note. I thought I could do it with you today, but never mind. But you know, it was that idea when I think about how he says, pay attention to the testimony of Scripture, that really it's for us to focus in, just like those kids were focused in. And he's looking for a quick response from us as well. And I would say there is a reward for our response to him. And that reward is that we will have the light of Scripture in this dark time if we pay attention to it. It's going to give us a light in these dark times. But it's also going to have the morning star arise in our hearts. So Jesus will shine in your hearts, the scripture says. He is the morning star. So we'll have this revelation from Jesus. He will shine in us and through us. Here's the third thing. Third point that Peter was making was that he wanted to help them understand the characteristics of true prophecy. And I just want to start off with a definition of prophecy, which is God's word to the people for immediate or future instruction. When you see in verse 21, he says, the prophets, though human, spoke from God. So this is God's word to the people for maybe immediate instruction or future instruction. And the prophets were bringing that. Corinthians tells us prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, or comfort. It can also be for correction. And in chapter 3, Peter's going to remind them about the coming day of the Lord, and there's a whole section on that. But here he wants them to understand what prophecy is, but also what prophecy isn't. Letter B is that false prophecy comes from the prophet's own interpretation, opinion, or will. And this is important because we're going to see in chapter 2, when Pastor Nathaniel talks on that next week, is that the false prophets are speaking out of their own ideas. And so by doing that, they begin to introduce destructive heresies. They begin to fabricate stories. They begin to encourage depraved conduct. All of that comes out from within them. He's wanting them to be aware that true prophecy, this is letter C, true prophecy originates from the Lord as the prophets are carried along by the Holy Spirit. I love this illustration that one of the commentators gave about this, is what does that look like? And he says, being inspired or moved along by the Holy Spirit is like putting up a ship, putting up its sails and letting the wind blow it. There's this part that we have of putting up the sails, but then the Holy Spirit moves us forward where he wants us to go. And so it is as if the writers of Scripture raised their sails in cooperation with God, and the Holy Spirit carried them along in the direction that he wished. And what is not, it's not rowing the boat to where we want to go, doing it in our own strength, but no, yielding, surrendering, opening our hearts to the Lord, putting our sails up and saying, God, where do you want to take me? And letting him move us. And that's where the prophets that were true prophets were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and Father God. So let me wrap this all up, just reminding us of Peter's purpose in writing again was to remind them of the truth about Jesus, to secondly give evidence to authenticate the message about Jesus and help them understand the characteristics of true prophecy. Here's some questions for response. Number one, what do you need to do in order to help you remember the truth? We talked about, we're doing this reading plan together. Roger mentioned the announcement that you can still jump on. We'd love to have you still jump on and be a part of this reading plan with us today. Just encourage you to sign up. There's forms in the back for that. You know, I mentioned that the hand illustration. This can be a tool that can help you maybe remember and think about how to remember by hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, and applying. But here's a big one, is just writing down what God is doing. This week I was on the mower. I do some of my best thinking on the mower. Dwayne Holman, I know you do too, right? I've heard your stories on the mower. Man, if you need to think, go mow. I was on the mower and just praying to the Lord, just thinking in about some stuff going on and things I've been praying about. And unfortunately, I can't share you the details about this, but I just wanted to say this. I was thinking and I just said, God, where is your God story? Where is your God story in this prayer request that I have? And I just want to say, like, this week, I've been praying about it for a while. This week, it was answered. And, man, it was such an encouragement. And I was like, I don't want to forget this. I've been praying about it. I don't want to forget it. So I went in, and I wrote it down. And as I wrote it down in a place that I've written down other ones, you know, it's been fun to read back through, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. What God has done in the past. Do you have a place to write it down so that you can remember your testimony, your story of what God is doing? Because he is working in our lives, and we just often need to remember what he's been doing. But here's another part of just remembering, and I mentioned this earlier, was that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would remind us of what he said. He said that in John chapter 14. And now we know that the inspiration of scriptures is part of that, that he brought it back to their memory so that they could write it down, that we could have it today. But I'm just going to say, as we hold on to the word of God, in those moments that we need it, he's going to bring it to remembrance as well, because we've stored it up within us. He's going to bring those things out for us to use in those moments as well. So I just encourage you, listen to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? The second question for response is, how does Peter's evidence about Jesus impact what you believe? Maybe you're struggling to believe that this message about Jesus is true. Maybe you feel like it's been made up as well. Well, Peter today reminds us of his eyewitness testimony, not his, but many others. He and how Jesus was glorified. He reminds us of the audible voice of God the Father saying that Jesus is his son, and he reminds us of the prophetic scriptures that show that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah. What testimony in your life do you have? How has he changed your life? It always starts with a relationship with him. And every week when we open up the altars, we just want you to know, if you want to know Christ, want to pray to receive him, we would love to pray with you and invite him to be a part, to come into your life and start a relationship with him. The third question is, where do you need to ask the Lord for discernment? He says, pay attention to the word, because we can be misled easily by false teaching. And sometimes it's just a lie. We get misled by a lie. We hold on to that lie and we give it power in our life. But when we bring it in front of the word of God, the word of God sheds light on it and examines that so that we can deal with it and it can be removed in our lives. Next week, chapter 2, again, we're going to get into the false teachings, false prophets, and that's a huge one of needing discernment. And then this is the last one, number 4, is your sail up so that you can be moved along by the wind of the Spirit. And what I mean by sail up is your heart open? Is there a surrender in your heart to what the Lord wants to do? A yieldedness to him. Because you know what? Maybe you feel like you can't put your sail up right now. Maybe you feel like you've been beat down by the enemy. Maybe you feel like you have nothing left in you. I just want to close with reminding you this, that Jesus is interceding for you. I love it that Jesus told Simon Peter that Satan has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And then when your faith has not failed, turn back and strengthen your brothers and sisters. And that's what Peter is doing in this letter. If you're beat down, discouraged, feel like you can't put your sail up, just come to Jesus in that way and let him invite you to come and put your sail up, give you the strength to do it. He's interceding for you. He wants to move in your life. So put up your sail, but then remember to hold on to the truth. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray and then just close with a little bit of worship here. Lord, right now we just come before you. And Lord, just with that picture of putting our sails up, Lord, we just invite you to blow a fresh wind over us today. Move in our hearts, Lord. You know what's going on in our lives. For the one who feels like they can't even lift the sail, Lord, I pray that you would come alongside and that you would strengthen them. Lord, we invite you to work. Bring healing. Bring encouragement. Bring discernment. Lord, whatever's needed, we just invite you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. One way you can connect further with First Friends Church is through our website, firstfriends.org. There, you can learn about our equip groups as well as our upcoming events for all ages. On Sundays, we gather at 9 and 10:30 a.m., and we'd love to see you there. Have a great week.